Item 6 is a subdivision rezoning at 406 River Avenue, 102 Boyle Street, and an unaddressed Boyle Street lot 108, previously addressed 100 Boyle Street under file DASZ 28 of 2011. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following item will also be heard for those said addresses: a variance under file DAV 147-205-2011-D.
Yeah. Okay, Councillor. Yeah. First?
Yes, Sasha is the applicant.
Oh, Sasha?
Yes.
Thank you.
Dealing with item, if anyone just came in, we're dealing with items 6 and 7 first because somebody had to leave early, and then we'll start with number 1 going through the agenda. Yes?
I'm the owner of the property adjacent to it. I wanted to mention that I've been attempting to have a meeting with the village.
Well, when you're called up, you'll be called up to speak.
Well, I'm asking to postpone the meeting if they want to. I'd like to be a supporter of the project.
We have to go through the process at this stage, but you can raise that when you get a chance to come up. Well, we'll get a chance to look at that idea, but we have to go through the process at this stage. We can't just... We could always consider that.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for allowing us to present for this project. I'll try to be brief. We're here to present, as you mentioned, 406 River Avenue, and it's a condominium development. The location is at the corner of Bull Street and River Avenue in Osborne Village, or just off Osborne Street, as you can see there. The site consists of 3 existing lots. This is Bull Street here and River Avenue there. There's an existing lot at the corner and 2 adjacent lots running down to the Bowl Avenue. And it's sort of nestled amongst the existing residential development. Both of them have multiple apartments within it. That one has, which is 400 River, has 3, and the one on Bowl Street has 2 apartments, I believe. And there, as you can see, it's a fairly tight site, and the adjacent buildings do come very close to the property line. If not, they might be on the property line as well. Just to give you a little bit of the context, the River Avenue is a part of the Osborne Village neighborhood plan that deals with density, and the River Avenue sort of bisects or cuts through an area that's south of River Avenue is the what's known as medium density, and the north of River Avenue, the northwest of River Avenue, is called a high density area, or a designated high density area. And the property, as you can see, is located right there, which is in the medium density area. So we are seeking a rezoning for the density. When we met with the planner on this issue, it was discussed that there had to be ground somewhere. There's a quite good project with high density south of the south of River Avenue as well. As we all know, Osborne Village is one of the densest neighborhoods in Canada, and there's a commotion within the plan of various densities and housing types and so on. This is why we love Osborne Village, I think it is, because there's a lot of people on the street, a lot of people living in the area and so on. When we start on any project, we're approached by a client, we look at various things. One thing is the development model. It's trying to make sure the project does make sense financially, because otherwise it would not happen in a commercial setting. And then we also look at a number of issues that deal with planning objectives, zoning, parking, and so on. So when we've gone through this project, we've established sort of a minimum number of 26 units for the development to work with the parking on site. And then we've gone through the market values that would sustain the project, try to see the construction costs and how they relate to that, and so on. And we'll make sure that when it relates to density part and the planning objective of zoning. We've met both with Councilor Gerbasi prior to the submission of the variances and so on. We met with Councilor Robinson several times to review the objectives and the various things. When it comes to density, we've done a little study on the site. Our project is located on the L-shaped section here. They put the number of projects in the area of similar nature, either either condominiums or rental apartments, and the density that we're proposing, we found discovered or found out that it's in line with or lower from what the remainder of the area is. We also looked at the plan of Winnipeg and the in terms of trying to find out how the development of this area should be looked at and so on. And I think there's a couple points here that I would like to go through. One, there is many transportation driven ways which reduce reliance on the automobile, improve integration of transportation modes, and improve effectiveness of the transportation system. I think any project in Osborne Village will do that because it relies on the existing network, it relies on the existing infrastructure. And just because supply of all the services in the area, the reliance on automobile is quite low, in particular with the introduction of the light transit system as well. And and that also helps us reduce the greenhouse gas emissions. So when we look at projects like this, and we have to look at the market sort of holistically and realize that the trying to figure out what the density is, trying to figure out what the parking requirements would be and should be. And then also there's a lot of writing, there's a lot of data on how infill development is good, and we all know that, but actually there are some economic benefits to that when it comes to service costs and so on. We also looked at the parking, as we mentioned, and discovered that the parking in the area is, in the projects that we've studied, is fairly limited. As well, we also looked at the parking study that was administered earlier this year, February 2011, which sort of demonstrated that the currently the parking loads, from my understanding, or my understanding of it, at least, there's a street parking is being utilized quite heavily. However, it's not at a point where it requires building of a public garage yet, and there's a lot of discussion on management of the parking, signage, communication, and letting people know how to deal with that. It's interesting to note that they also mentioned Canada Day when the number of people actually decide to use public transit, but there's still traffic jam and so on. So it was sort of inconclusive in terms of, in our understanding of the study, in terms of where the how much parking there is available on the publicly in the area. We've looked at the sort of data on the means of transportation or modes of transportation in Canada. So it's interesting to find out in high density areas such as the one we're dealing with, 23% of the people actually rely on the on public transit. And then when it comes to cars, about 60% of people rely on private cars. I looked at the data on Osborne, and this is 2005 census. We've discovered that about 55% of people actually use the car in the area to get to work, and from 25% use the public transportation, and 10% either walk or bike to the in their daily commutes. So back again, when we looked at the site, we met with the planner fairly early to determine what variances what bulk regulations we could expect to receive on the site, especially given the sort of tight constraints, both on the two streets and two adjacent properties. And so this is sort of a massive model of what would be allowed based on the variances that we've got. We're looking at a certain setbacks on levels 4 and 5, proportion of the building in order to force them to get to the adjacent property and so on, and to minimize the impact that they would have on the area. It's probably important to note it's a certain model of the area, and that's the proposed project. This is the old Victoria Hospital right here. Mm-hmm.
size of the project is comparable, if not smaller, to the projects in the area.
We've looked at a number of options, and this, you have to understand, this is one of the things we have to do as architects, especially in the beginning of the project, as we're trying to establish what is the appropriate model, and we have to take all the constraints into consideration. So we looked at a number of options in terms of how the site could be developed, and we will share a couple of them with you. They show two different approaches to different strategies with the parking, and we have anticipations on a number of different levels. This is the option that we discussed them with the planner as well. This is the option that that was shown and that we based our submission on. It shows 22 parking stalls and 26 units, so about 0.85 utilization. I would like to actually digress for a moment. There's a variance that we applied for, which is the variance for the rule of bicycle parking. There must have been a miscommunication. We're very interested in actually providing that. So we can take it off the table, and I think Michael before actually rejects it, which is absolutely fine. The first option has allowed us to provide parking with access off Bull Street and access from the back lane. And it's actually a fairly economical option that allowed us to, again, achieve 22 parking stalls for the building. So utilization about 80.85, which is still quite a bit higher compared to the number of projects in the area. We've also looked at another option which allowed us to do 30 stalls, and it would require us to park both from the two sides and take into the underground and go underground on one hand on one side and then go underground on the other side, and we can achieve 1.15 stalls per unit. So the main differences between the two options, I mean, aside from number of parking stalls, are constructability and the cost of construction. And while they will both work in a sort of marketplace, the units that are going to definitely be developed in option two will likely have to be $25,000 to $30,000 more expensive per unit, just because we have the shore and the supporting the foundation relative to the existing housing and so on. So those are those sort of items that will definitely change the market reach and probably force us into a slightly higher market rate. I think that's about it. I'm not sure. What more is that here? I'm not sure if you want to add anything to that. Yes.
Questions?
Yeah, I have a question. You mentioned that it goes up to a higher market rate. Is there anything that you're comfortable saying about the market rate in general? Like, what are we looking at? What level of cost are we looking at?
You'd have to come up.
Yeah, use the mic. Trevor O'Toole?
Yes. Just the basic difference when it comes to the cost, allowing to keep something probably $25,000 to $30,000 cheaper due to our lower building costs of having an at-grade parking with the 22 spots would certainly allow a different demographic to have access to these condos, to go from a two-bedroom up potentially around the $275,000 level to throw that up to $300,000 level or $305,000. Definitely takes that one extra step away from some people. So we're all, a lot of these are going to be two-bedroom apartments, two-bedroom condos. That people should still be able to be achievable for some. But by just going that extra bit and having those extra parking spots, just an added cost. So we want the option of trying to provide them as low as we can to get people into the area.
Thank you.
And we also, as a team, we also feel certain responsibility for responding to the areas current, if you wish, density and development patterns and so on that are unwalkable and so on. So I'm not sure. One of the things that we're trying to do also here, we're at a very early stage of the project. We understand how its performance works, but we don't have a design. As you can see, there's no design for the project yet. So we are trying to keep certain options open and then figure out how to go.
So the level of density that this project fits, do you say that it fits within the Osborne Village neighborhood plan in terms of density for that area?
Yeah.
The plan itself?
Yeah.
And so the second option for looking at the parking, I guess, is because you're originally looking at 22 and yet you're going to have 26 suites, so this would give you more than one per...
Yeah, that's right.
It would give you 1.15 per unit rather than less than one per unit.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Questions?
No. Okay. Thank you very much. We're going to go through the list of people in support. And so if you wish to speak and add to whatever is being presented, by all means, it's your chance. And then afterwards, we'll have the people in opposition speak. And then Sasha will have a chance to come back up if you want to clarify. Okay. So Trevor O'Toole in support. Would you like to add?
I'm good. No,
thank you. Lee Timchuk.
I'm in support. I don't mind saying something.
Come on up. Sorry. Yeah, right at the front. Thanks. Just the microphones.
Okay.
We can catch your voice.
I live on Bull Street, actually. I've had a property there for close to 10 years already, and I've noticed that there's a few properties around there that aren't getting developed, they're starting to go down in value and stuff, and I've noticed that a project like this is great for the area, and adding more population is good for the culture there, it's great for the people, and it's true, more and more people are using bicycles all the time, and the bus and everything, so I just, my support just goes 100% behind it, because I think it's great for the area, and I welcome it to the block.
Thank you. Peter something.
On the ownership, yeah.
You're good?
Okay, is there anyone else in support of this project whose name has not been called? No.
See none. Leslie, in opposition. I have Leslie and Lomius. Please speak. Or is it just for information?
No.
Or you don't have to speak right now? You can.
Opposition.
Opposition? And then Barry? Anthonos, you can, would you like to come up and speak?
Leslie has decided that she's too nervous to get up here.
It is intimidating. Go ahead.
And
you're doing all
right. Sit down. But if we can steal a few minutes of her time,
yeah.
Go over.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I'm not.
Why don't you have a. Want
to
have a seat?
No,
program
stable.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, moving.
Okay. I'm not totally unsupporting the project. I'm not totally in favor of it either. Leslie and I are co-owners of the building we're married. And it's a retirement project. Two of the people that live in that project are wanting to buy their two condos. We're planning on moving back. And the people that are living there now, I have a lot to say. We've had some visits from the developer, and things, what they understood was not really the case. But I am glad to see that there, if it's a commitment to put 30 stalls in for 26 units, I think that's a good move. It's a smart move and a responsible move. I was really concerned about parking. There's three things I'd like to talk about. One is parking. Two is the fact that they're building the property, the side of the property, right to the sidewalk on River, not the front, but the side of the property. And I'm going to show you some pictures about our property, which is 400 River. I wish Sasha had left out that one slide, but I think you've seen it already. You know where the 400 River is. It's the one that's being encapsulated by this new project. We've had that project for about 20 years. It took us about 10 years to accumulate all three of them. But just let me break up my notes here. I'm not going to spend too much time on parking, although I personally spent a lot of time. I talked to 63 people. The reason I did that is I was never contacted by the developer to have a meeting. There was no discussion with me. I was out of town. I got back Thursday. I saw the sign, which might go a little confusing because it's upside down. And a couple of people I talked to so they weren't sure that it was on the river property. In any case, I talked to Trevor this morning because I was out taking some pictures to show you folks. And I said, I am still willing to meet with you, and that's why I stood up before the session. I'd like to be a supporter. I think I am a supporter partly, but I have some deep concerns about what it will do to my tenants and myself and my wife and the people in the area. I'm not going to speak at length about parking. I talked to 63 people, and there's three people in this room for sure that know that that is the worst area in the city to park. Councillor DeBassi, I think, knows that. Trevor knows that because he lives on Lowell, the developer. And I know that because I've lived there and I've talked to my tenants. But even more importantly, I've talked to 63 people, and believe me, it is the first and foremost thing that they think about. Right now, I'll tell you what some people do. They call their mom or dad, brother, and say, can you come and bring your car over here around 1 o'clock when you get home from work? We'll move your car and I'll put my car there. And I got that comment many times. I went over to Bill Cabrini, and I contacted all the businesses on River Avenue, spoke to them all personally. Their numbers are here. Their names are here. They've all offered their phone numbers. Welcome to contact them. But the comment from the lady at the front desk who worked at Bill Cabrini was, some of the seniors that are here can't even get their family to visit them now. It's too hard to find a spot in that area. And it's a travesty. I phoned him part because I have a funny feeling that my two tenants that are renting space off Trevor may be looking for more space tomorrow. But Impact told me that they are not even taking any more waiting list calls. There will not be a spot available in that Impact for years to come. They're just not taking any more. I've got their number down on the sheet here as well. So that's a huge concern. I'm really glad to see that if that's a commitment that's being made, I'm really happy about that. I'm going to leave these. I'll give them to Michael. Oh. Thank you. Sorry, I'm a little nervous, but and I don't have all the great graphics, but I'll do the best we can. The second issue is building the property to the street. Now, that project that 400 River has some very nice condos. It's been in magazines in Winnipeg before. It's located in a great location. There's, let me pull up a picture. There's a shape of this. I'll change too much when I show it to you. It's 5,200 square feet, and there's three condos in there. One's 1,900 square feet. One is 1,700 square feet. The other one's 1,500 square feet on two levels. And the rent in there is I'm going to need that back, though.
No, yeah, sir, go back.
That's fine.
Okay. This project has won quite a few design awards. I didn't design it, but I bought it. And I knew the person who did design it and build it. Randy Sparling is his name, who's very well known in town. Lives in Comox now. And I phoned him yesterday to talk to him and let him know what was happening. And this used to be a problem. This used to belong to that problem. But you saw from the diagram that I got this from Michael. This is our property here, and there's a main floor balcony, top floor balcony, and this person has two balconies. And they used to have a view out here with greenery, and they could see down the street, they could see Osborne. And if this project goes through with that, and sorry, I don't have any graphics skills, so this is sort of what it's going to look like. This is going to be the building, and this is going to be our property. This is what these balconies are going to look like, going to look at.
Just to us, please. Yeah, not to the audience. Thanks.
Pardon me?
Just to the, not, the gallery's not here. Just, you're just speaking to us.
Sure.
Please. Thank you.
Do we deserve this? I don't think so. I don't think it's a responsible move. Am I willing to? I would love to have had the opportunity to sit down and talk to these folks. We probably could have compromised and made some ground, and I could have been a favoring project, but we didn't. And I offered to have a meeting this morning, and they didn't want to do that. So. And quite a few of the people, even some of the ones that visited the open house, really didn't know about what the parking issues were. Some of them didn't even know that the property was going to, I talked to them, their names and numbers are on here, they're on the thing I did here. Didn't know that there was going to be less parking spots than condos. Hopefully that's changed. But they didn't also know it was going to be built to River Avenue. And the side of the building is going to be on River. And it takes away a view that we've enjoyed for 20 years there, or more. I've owned it for 20 years. And I guess the last thing is the again, without any discussion or not having been contacted, I don't know what the process is going to be. But I contacted a friend of mine who does some work with Chris Daly, MMP Architects, explained the whole thing. And he said that typically what they do is they go through the community and they talk to the people that own properties next door and down the street and ones that will be affected by construction. And they try and look at what might be a pitfall or what could be a problem in constructing this. He suggested I call some structural engineers. I did. I called John DeNoon, professional engineer, structural experience. Les Robich, professional engineer, construction experience. Gunther Schwab, who I'm going to hope will be able to meet with their structural engineer at some point. And the comment was consistent with all of them. There could be serious damage. They're asking to build this property, Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, 16 feet away from my property. Five-story building with probably 25, 30, I don't know how many. You've seen those big things come. It's a serious business. And according to all of these consultants, based on that information, there could be $5,000, $10,000. There could be some damage for sure. Could even be catastrophic. The house was built originally, as I said, it was Doug Robbins' house, with a stone foundation on the right-hand side and a 3-foot-high by 8-inch retaining wall supports the other part of the project. This is the old part here, and that's built on the own base. It's a stone basement walls, right? They're made out of stone with a cement cladding over top of it. This part, the new part, the addition, not the new part, it was all built at the same time, is on a 3-foot retaining wall with 8-inch walls. This is a delicate situation, according to the engineers. And it has to be dealt with a great deal of responsibility. So for this reason, that's why I stood up at the beginning and said, we should meet, we should talk. I would like to be a supporter of this project. I think it could be good for us, but don't block our view, don't box us in, and don't get us in a situation where we may lose tenants. They may not buy these units, quite frankly. Let me tell you just a little bit. I canvassed out everybody in the area. There's this Rice Street behind the Pulse. When they were putting the pilings in there, there was damage to several houses on Pulse. Several. I have their names and numbers on their sheet. Some of them couldn't get any support from the building to fix that. They just didn't have the money to take them to court. You know how it is, the bigger companies, they try and outweigh you, and you just give up. So they have to fix them themselves. They did give in on one property, the one closest to Pulse, but it's still 125 feet away. This is 16 feet away from our property. It's a very dangerous and tricky maneuver, and I think we need to take more time to discuss it, have engineers meet, and see if, in fact, this is something that should be done. If they're willing to compromise, give us our view. The parking issue is reasonable. I'm willing to support it.
Thank you.
Is there anyone whose name has not been called that wishes to speak to this application? Seeing none.
And if Sasha would come back and respond, just to make sure, this is not the time to present new information. This is the time just to respond to anything you've heard so far. Good then. That will be okay.
Well, so I'll talk to a couple of issues, I guess, here.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Sasha.
Well,
I have three emails here from the tenants who live there now, and it talks about their disappointment and not knowing what was going on. And I'll leave them with you. Sorry.
Thank you.
No, that's a good segue. One of the things that Michael suggested, and that's sort of the guideline for a process like this, is for us to run an open house in the neighborhood. So we followed the guidelines for an open house and held one. And do you remember the date exactly? July, I believe. So we've canvassed everything in radius required, all the buildings and all the apartments in the surrounding area. So I'm surprised you haven't received that, Barry, or you haven't seen that. But we think there was an ample opportunity. We've offered that opportunity where everybody wasn't informed. I think Trevor here has a letter from one of the tenants from 400.
At that point, we canvassed and we asked as well. So I find it very surprising that we have a different now, because I got a letter from one of the tenants who I talked to on the way, who said she would be still in position that she would buy, and here states that she has strong support and endorsement of the condominium development. So I have that to kind of counter specific. I personally live at Bull Street. I spent just over a year taking it from a rooming house. So
Massey?
One of the issues, the issue of building right up to the sidewalk, what is the design in the front? I mean, I know you don't have it fully developed, but, you know, what's it going to look like? Is it going to be pedestrian-oriented?
We have entrances to the apartments that are going to be at the corner. Sort of like a walk-up type. So the massing will, of the project will work is actually quite interesting. As we've gone through this with Michael, we have to set back floors 4 and 5 for a portion of those floors. So what you're going to be receiving at that very corner is likely going to be 3 stories tall. So that's you're going to have a 3-story building at the corner with, in essence, walk-up suites.
The person in opposition had talked about, I mean, sometimes there's just certain things that are lost, you know, by building it as opposed to not having a building there. The view that they currently have, I guess, is not a building right there in the, up to the sidewalk. Is there any flexibility or any way to deal with that and still do a project?
I can tell you this. When we first started looking at the project, the buildable area for apartment or for condominiums was about 36,000 square feet. That was what was initially proposed. By the time we've gotten to where we are right now, with all the setbacks that we've done in order to allow sun to come to that property and other properties, we're at 25,500. So we've lost about 10,500 square feet of that. And we're right now at the cusp of not being able to make this happen because we're at about 1,000 square feet per unit or 400. So it becomes really difficult to take off some of that. We could work with Michael after this as well to see if there's some other setback that we could negotiate and then bring the area back. So that's
getting 3 properties in Osborne Village was tough. Getting land to develop on is not cheap in that area. It's hard to build. So to get any sort of infrastructure or get a building where there's infrastructure in place, I'm sold. I want to move into it. I want to make this a beautiful building. I don't want to sell my house that I'm in currently either because I love the neighborhood. I'm committed to it. I'm putting everything I can into this building. So.
Anything else? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now we'll take a moment to address his name.
Yeah, I just had a few
administration.
The issue of building right up to the front street, isn't that something that, how does that fit in congruency with the neighborhood plan in terms of that as an approach?
Yeah, one of the challenges is that city-wide or neighborhood-wide goals and objectives and policies that we have in place sometimes contradict the interests of individual property owners. And in this case, we do have a policy in the Osborne Village Plan. It says development will achieve an urban character and reinforce the relationship between buildings and the street by orienting buildings to the street to restore traditional mature neighborhood character. New buildings are to be located to the front and corner side property lines and have a street front orientation. So it's essentially a requirement of the plan that the building be up to the property line to create that pedestrian environment. So in this case, there's a house that's set back. It has a more traditional residential setback. But Osborne Village is an urban neighborhood. And through the planning process, these policies emerge that the community wants to see the buildings up to the street. So that's essentially why the planning department supports this orientation of the building.
Another issue that came up was the consultation with the neighbors and such. And there seemed to be some disagreement about how much of that was. Did they in fact follow the guidelines that are given them? And I think they're voluntary guidelines to have open houses and such. That we do expect that, but they in fact do the things that we expect beyond.
I mean, I was satisfied with the process that they followed. The only individual that contacted me and said that he didn't know about it was Barry. And Barry does not reside at that location. And he indicated that he was in Phoenix. I could be wrong, but I think he said he was away and out of town during the summer. So he wasn't able to be contacted. But other than that, he was the only individual who said that he didn't have information
And just to be sure I'm clear about the parking, what you have, what the report recommends is 26 parking spaces, whereas this is the revised report. Previously it was 22, which I guess would have been the other plan that didn't include the dual grade.
That's correct.
So you're now, or the administrative report now recommends a minimum of 26, which is at least 1-to-1, and they're saying they would be, if they go with that approach, would be 30, which would be what, 1.15, which is fairly close to the 1.2 I think that's, that petition calls for. So it's fairly close. Okay, and that's what you're recommending there.
Okay.
All right.
Anyone else in administration? No? Seeing none?
You can have that.
Yeah.
I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
So moved. All right.
I move that receipt of public representations be concluded.
All right. So moved.
I move that the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in and forwarded to the Standing Policy Committee on Property and Development.
All right.
And I move the following supporting reasons, namely, while I do very much respect the concerns that were raised by the neighbor, in many ways this project, and in every way, it coincides or is supported very much by the neighborhood plan. Certainly hard to find a lot of negatives other than, you know, the individual property right next door, it may be some concerns. Some of those concerns, I think, have been addressed, including the parking. And it sounds like I heard some response to the concerns about the foundation and the way it's going to be constructed, that hopefully I expect there to be a lot of sensitivity towards that. I'm sure there will be. You know, it's unfortunate that everybody isn't 100% on board, but it'd be pretty hard to say no to a project like this. So that, at this time, it seems like overall it's a positive for the village. So I would move to support it. And I move that the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All favor? Aye.
Please note that the committee has made a recommendation on this matter that will now proceed to council. No further representations are permitted, and all persons registered for the public hearing will receive notice when the matter is considered by council.
Okay, we'll just go to the variance. Mm-hmm. Just give me a second. Sorry, I have to. And I notice the bicycle requirement of 4 is still there, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I noticed it crossed off that was taken off. We would like to see bicycle parking, so that's all good.
The request for no has
the request been to, there's no request to not provide the required 4 bicycle parking stalls. We need more bicycle parking.